For people keeping score, Matei Johnson didn't need anybody. Not her father, who acted like he was 16 years old. Not her mother, who, depending on which Cove rumor you believed, had either been sent back to Korea or was a manager of a hair supply store her parents, Ty's grandparents, owned somewhere. Ty didn't know if either were true, and all Nona, her grandmother, would say was, "She not around here no more." Tay believed Nona, but she had looked her mother up on FriendMe anyway. Once, maybe twice. Definitely not more than four times. She was sure it was her, unless there were a lot of Kim Tae-yoons out there. The account was locked, so all Tay knew was they had eyes alike and sort of the same kind of name, Tay, not Ty, she always had to tell people. But she didn't know if it was really her, and she'd stopped caring. She didn't need anybody. Just because her heart was doing tiny leaps since she'd noticed that Mr. Jamal's truck was gone already, which meant he'd headed to his sister's to get Bean, which meant Bean would be home soon, didn't mean she needed Bean. She just missed her. Missing somebody and needing them weren't the same thing. She sat on top of her nightstand, staring across the small road that separated her row of townhouses from Bean's. She'd been up there all morning, afraid if she moved, she'd miss her return. Not that Mr. Jamal would let her come hang out right away, he never did. Even when Tay tried to sweet-talk her way inside for just a few minutes, Mr. Jamal would always say the same thing.
"Jamila just got home, Tay. She'll see you tomorrow."
It was the dumbest rule she'd ever heard of. It didn't stop her from waiting, though. She just wanted to see Bean back for herself the second it happened. The weekends Bean visited her aunt in the woods were bad enough. Her being ghost all summer was too much. Tay had looked so lame walking to center court by herself. She'd hung out with Rashida and Monique, but it got played out fast. For one, Mo had a bad habit of always rolling her eyes or scrunching up her mouth when she disagreed with Tay. She also didn't have a problem telling Tay she was overreacting. Then, Sheeta was just too sometimey. One minute she was 100% on your side, agreeing. Then as soon as Mo so much as opened her mouth to breathe the opposite, Sheeta was skating to the other side. It got on Tay's nerves, like, girl, pick a side. Still, the fact was her, Mo, Sheeta, and Bean were a squad. Had been close since fifth grade when the seventh grade girls in the hood came at them sideways trying to start trouble. It stopped almost dead once they clicked, though. The older girls knew Mo and Tay were a match to anybody when it came to clapping back, and if it came to it, knuckling up. In Tay's mind, she was the leader when they were all hanging together. But without Bean, she realized she was the third wheel. It's why she had faked not feeling well to get out of going to the zoo when they went with the Boys and Girls Club and even to the carnival, her favorite tradition. She wasn't about to sit there looking dumb while Mo and Sheeta shared their little inside jokes. It made her feel like an outsider in the small circle she'd been the head bee of since elementary school. That wasn't the only thing, though. Bean's absence had left a block of cold anger in Tay's stomach all summer. The closer it got to Bean returning to the hood, the more the anger melted. But it had eaten at Tay that Bean had never once invited her over to the woods. Not even for a few hours just to chill. Tay couldn't even hint at an invite since Bean had barely texted her either. And barely was being generous. Like, how do you take a break from being somebody's friend? Tay wondered, the icy annoyance seeping back into her veins. Because that's what it felt like Bean had done. One minute Bean was right there across the street. They were texting, hanging at center court, or chilling at Tay's, like almost every day. Then bam, Bean was in the woods and it was like she fell off the earth.